Today has been a wonderful day in so many ways. It would be hard to order a more nearly perfect day, weather-wise, than what we've had, wouldn't it? It's been a beautiful day. And anybody who can look around on a day like this and see all the evidences that surround us and not believe in God and His power has just got to have some problems. This is a beautiful day. And I think we've had a good day in many other ways also. Today is the fifth Sunday, and our contribution on the fifth Sunday goes to the building fund. Particularly, the one today is going to put new curtains through, that are sliding curtains here between the auditorium and the annex, and enlarge some classrooms downstairs. And this morning, we had 15,185. And if you forgot to bring your contribution this morning, we're still open. And if you didn't even think about it this morning, we're still open. We want to have as much as we can to go on this project. And David Baker did a tremendous job in bringing lessons this morning. The day is sort of a day to emphasize the family. And David brought a lesson at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. I think that he called Children Need Cheerleaders, emphasizing that we need to encourage, especially encourage our younger generation. And then he talked about teamwork and doing the Lord's work at Bible study. And then at 1 o'clock, he spoke on the subject, like father, like son. I told David as he began at 1 o'clock, I'm going to listen to your sermon, make notes, and then present it at 5 o'clock. I listened to his sermon, and I made some notes, but I'm not going to present his sermon tonight at 5. Because the approach that he took was one that would take a great deal of study. He went back and talked about Hezekiah as a father and Manasseh as a son, brought an outstanding lesson. But I do want to take the theme of that lesson and study with you for a few minutes tonight. Like father, like son. The audience that we have together tonight at 5 is a bit unusual as I think about this subject. We probably have a smaller percentage of people who are already married and have children in this audience than any audience that I've addressed in a long time. Because a large number of you here tonight are students, and you're not married and you don't have children, but I assume that many of you are looking forward to getting married and having children. And so from that standpoint, it is still a lesson that I think is helpful. But from the standpoint of those of you who are not married, who do not have families in that sense, I want you to think tonight more from the standpoint of being a son or being a daughter. I think we have failed to appreciate the importance of the example of parents. We tend to take that for granted. There is a great influence by the school. There is a great influence by the church. And I am grateful for what is done by our schools to help train our young people. And I'm grateful for everything that's done to help train them in the sense of values, although that is not as easy today as it was a few years ago. And I'm certainly grateful for the Bible classes that we have at church and those that take the younger generation into consideration and talk about things that will help them to increase the value of their families. But when you get right down to it, I'm convinced that the most important area that has to do with the training of the younger generation is the family. And the responsibility lies at the feet of parents. That's where God put it. Now, these other areas that we've talked about are extensions of that and can be helpful. And I appreciate everything that was done by every teacher in school and at church to help us as we were rearing our three daughters and one son. But the longer I study God's Word, the older I get, now being a grandfather as well as a father, I'm convinced that the responsibility has got to come back to dads and mothers. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. Now, there are times when the most faithful parents who rear their children in the church from babes up find that they have some problems with their sons and daughters. And there are some times that young people turn out well without very much help from dad and mother. I have a very close friend that lives in my home county. He preaches now. He's a very fine person, preached the gospel for several years. His dad was one of the biggest bootleggers in making moonshine whiskey of anybody in our county. He had no encouragement as he was coming up to be a Christian. But he himself learned what the Bible teaches and became a Christian and has been a fine Christian man, preaching the gospel for years. I say these things to say that there are some exceptions. But generally, we're going to see in our sons and daughters what they see in us as dads and mothers. I really believe that that is true. And so this idea of like father, like son is a very important statement. It's interesting that David chose that subject today. I wish he had chosen like mothers, like daughters. Because I'd rather talk about you women than us men. And for another reason, there is a statement in Ezekiel 16:44 that says like mothers, like daughters. And there isn't one that says like fathers, like sons. But what we're talking about is like parent, like child. The influence of parents on children. I want you to look with me tonight at 4, 5, 6 passages of Scripture. First starting in 2 John and 3 John. Those two little one chapter books that are toward the end of your Bible. Verse 4 in each of these little books is a verse related to each other. In 2 John verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, those of us that are parents certainly can see the importance of that in a way that we're dealing with our own sons and daughters, but I don't think Paul was dealing with that as much here as he was his children in the faith. This last week, I had the privilege of preaching Sunday through Wednesday in a gospel meeting at Franklin, Tennessee. And a young lady came in with 3 children. Young lady, I suppose now about 35 or 40. She and her husband, 3 children, came in. I immediately realized who she was. She was a youngster about that high when she was in the church at Tullahoma where I preached before I moved here. In fact, she said the one thing that she remembered about me more than anything else was during vacation Bible school, talking about this little Christian light of mine. Well, she's grown up. She's become a teacher in the school system. She is a Christian mother. She was there with her family. As those of us who are preachers, and any of us in the church for that matter, who teach in Bible class, go about and we see somebody like that that's faithful in the church. Here's a young lady that at least I knew and may have had a little influence with her a few years ago, and now I saw her faithful as a mother and as a Christian in living God's Word and teaching it. I don't know that there is any greater joy than that, than seeing those that we've seen come up from babies and little boys and girls to be adults that are active and faithful in the Lord's service. And I think that's what John is saying here. That he's saying that just to see those people that I've known and those that I've helped and just to hear about the fact that they are faithful to the Lord, that they're walking in the truth, this is one of the greatest joys that we have. And I want to say to those of you that are of the younger generation today, those of you that are students and those that are even younger than that, I'm not for sure that there is anything that you can do that will give more joy to your dads and mothers than to walk in the truth of God's Word. I know they appreciate your grades when you make good grades, and I know they appreciate your being in activities in the school, but I just don't believe that there's anything that will give them more joy and cause them to say, that's my son, that's my daughter, and I'm proud of my son or my daughter and thankful for them any more than you're walking in the truth of God. So what we do today continues to give praise and show appreciation to our dads and mothers at the same time that we show appreciation to God. So realize that joy to fathers and mothers comes from seeing their children walk in the truth, walk according to God's Word. In the next place, I want us to realize and to understand very, very clearly that our being Christians and our living like we should and walking in the truth is not something that is inherited. And it is not something that is guaranteed. There is a rather interesting statement back in Exodus 20 where God is giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. And as he's talking about the commandment not to worship idols, he makes an unusual statement. He says, "The iniquities of the fathers shall be visited on the third and fourth generation." Some people pull that out and suggest that that's an idea of inherited sin, but that's not what it's talking about. Because the Bible clearly teaches that we do not inherit sin from our parents, grandparents, or great-grandparents. What he's talking about, if you'll look at it and put it in the context and in the context of all of God's Word, is the influence that one generation has upon another generation. If you'll stop and think about it, most of our relationships involve three or four generations. I never knew my great-grandparents. I knew my grandparents, had the privilege of preaching twice with all four grandparents in the audience. Then when our children came along, they were one generation, I was another generation, my dad and mother another generation, and my grandparents another generation, and we had a relationship that involved four generations. It's unusual for you to have a fifth generation. My grandfather on my mother's side did. He lived to almost 99 years old, and there was a fifth generation that was 12 or 14. If he had lived another 4 or 5 years, there's a possibility it could have been a sixth generation, but that's unusual. Usually we are associated. You think about yourself. Most of you that are here can remember your grandparents possibly. Possibly some of you lost your grandparents before you were born or before you can remember. But most of you remember your parents and your grandparents, possibly your great-grandparents. Three or four generations. That's what he's talking about. There's the influence, the relationships that we have among the generations. Not inherited. Sin is not inherited, and righteousness is not inherited. If your father or grandfather was a preacher of the gospel, that doesn't necessarily mean that you will be. Your mother was a fine Christian, your grandmother was a fine Christian, that doesn't mean that you will inherit that. And it doesn't mean that because they were, it is guaranteed that you will be. The kind of life that we live that will either give joy or problems to our parents is not something that is inherited, and it is not something that is guaranteed. There has to be an effort on our part. But I think going back and realizing the value of these relationships and how valuable it is to our parents and grandparents for us to live the Christian life is what will help us to do that. This relationship that we're talking about is something that's very important. What do our sons and daughters see in us? What do they hear from us? What do you see in your parents? What do you hear from them? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6 instructed the people back at that time to teach their sons and daughters. When they got up in the morning, as they were going about their activities, when they sat down, when they were ready to go to bed at night, teach them the Word of God. That's what we need to see in parents today. Back in Genesis 18 and verse 19, God, in talking about Abraham, said, "I know that he will teach his children what they need to know about me." I'm summarizing what is said in that passage. And when you look at Abraham, who eventually became known as the friend of God, you see a man who literally did teach his sons the things that they needed to know. They were not perfect. Some of them went in different directions. But he was a father that God said, "I know he will teach them." And if there's ever been a person in whom God was seen, it would have been Abraham. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said to Timothy, "I see in you an unfeigned faith." And that word unfeigned means pure. But he said, "I saw it first in your mother Eunice," or your grandmother Lois, "and then in your mother Eunice." Here he mentions three generations. There's the grandmother, the mother, and the son. In this particular case, apparently Timothy's father was not a Christian. At least there's nothing said about the influence that he had. But the influence of a godly mother and a godly grandmother made it possible that Paul could even look at Timothy and be glad to claim him as a son in the faith and say, "I see in you what I saw in your mother and in your grandmother." Ephesians 6 and verse 4, fathers are particularly told to bring their children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. There's a combination that's unbeatable. Admonition, that's encouraging. Nurture, that's discipline. Chastisement. If we leave either one of those out, we may have problems. But he's saying, you fathers have a responsibility. Let your children see in you an attitude of encouragement and an attitude of discipline. And in Colossians 3:21, he says, you fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And here's where we have the problem, if we're not careful, of seeing the bad things that happen and not seeing the good. We should not overlook the bad, but we need to emphasize the good. You ever had the experience of taking a report card home and having four A's and one C? And what does dad and mother see first? They see the C. And probably, if they're not careful, we'll talk more about that than they do the four A's. And that's the way it is in life many times. We tend to discourage instead of encourage. There's that passage back in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I don't believe that passage is saying that children will never make mistakes if they're trained right, but I think it is definitely saying, maybe saying more than this, but I think it is definitely saying that if a child gets the right kind of training, he can never get away from that training. And many times we remember the things that we learned when we were 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and many a person who's gone astray has been brought back to God because he remembered what he had been taught by his parents. And so as dads and mothers, we have a great responsibility to let God, let God be seen in us and let him be heard from our tongues in training up our youngsters in the way they should go. And then in Psalms 127, verses 3 and 4, there are two verses that I think just sort of put this together. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth. I believe there verse 3 is saying that we need to appreciate our younger generation. We need to appreciate the value of a son or a daughter. Those of us that are a bit older and those of us that are parents, if we're not careful, can become so tied to the affairs of the world that we think that our values are in land and money and possessions when our greatest value is found in a son or a daughter. There is nothing that we have that's of more value except one's own soul than the son or a daughter that's born into the family. And so when we realize that children are a heritage of the Lord and we appreciate them for what they are and who they are, I think we'll do a better job of letting them see in us the principles of God's Word. And then verse 4 here emphasizes our responsibility as parents. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man or a mighty warrior, one version says, so are the children of the youth, or of thy youth. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. You ever watched an archer shoot at a target? Or maybe you have used a bow and arrow yourself. When you draw bead on the target and send that arrow, there are two things that are extremely important. In order to hit the center of the target, you've got to send it in the right direction and with the right speed. The right direction and with the right speed. And I think there's something for us to learn here as we think about like father, like son, like parent, like child, that as parents we have a great responsibility to take our younger ones and help them to come up and to send them out into life like an arrow from the bow in the right direction and with the right speed. It just seems to me that if we look at the principles that are in these few passages that we've studied tonight, that we will have emphasized to us, and maybe we will be reminded of the importance of the example of a Christian father and a Christian mother. And for those of you that have not yet become a father or a mother, be thinking about how important it is and what you can do when you have sons and daughters of your own to let them see in you the principles of righteousness and hear from your mouth the Word of God and praise to God on a regular basis. There is nothing, I'm convinced that this is true, there is nothing that is more important to bringing up a son or a daughter in the right way than living the right example to where, if they are like us, they will be following God. On one occasion, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." Perhaps that sort of sums up what we're saying tonight. Every parent ought to live in such a way that if his son or daughter follows him, that son or daughter will be following Christ and following God. Look at your life tonight. If you're a parent, are you setting the right kind of example? You're a son or a daughter, are you living in such a way that you show your parents how much you appreciate what they've done for you, and at the same time praise God and show him appreciation? If not, if you need to be baptized into Christ or need to come back to Christ tonight, come as together we stand in sin.